Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Family Talk with psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and last time on Family Talk, we heard a most compelling conversation that our host Dr. Dobson had with two OBGYNs. They talked about how casual sex actually impacts a person's ability to connect with others later in life, and they have so much more to say about that. Now, yesterday's conversation was definitely one that was not intended for younger ears. And parents, again, the same issue that I issued yesterday, I want to share with you again today. Do something to distract them. Go ahead and pause the record here if you're actually playing this off our website or podcast. Make sure that the younger children don't hear this conversation because it is for grown-ups, and it's something that you want to talk about with your teenagers as well. It was truly a fascinating conversation yesterday, and I'm sure that it was the first time some of our listeners had heard that information. In fact, Dr. Dobson, it's not just something that you hear about when you turn on the television or browse the internet these days, is it?
Well, Roger, our culture seems absolutely determined today to promote a promiscuous lifestyle, despite the accumulating scientific evidence that shows it is disastrous, not only for the physical body, as we've known for many, many years, but also to our hearts and to our minds.
That's true.
There's no doubt that sex was intended by God to be experienced only by a man and a woman who are committed to each other. Absolutely. And for life throughout the marital relationship. That's the way the system was designed. Mm-hmm. These are principles laid out for us in Scripture, but now there's also scientific evidence which supports the biblical principles and wisdom on the topic of human sexuality. Hmm. This is the important message that was presented to us last time by two accomplished OBGYNs, Dr. Joe McElhaney and Dr. Frieda McKissick-Bush.
Well, Doctor, for those who were not with us last time, could you give us a quick synopsis of that research before we get going here?
Well, it's spelled out in the book that was written by two OBGYNs that I just named, and their book is called Hooked, New Science on How Casual Sex is Affecting Our Children. And it lays out in dramatic form the latest information on how the hookup culture is one of the worst ideas to come along.
That's true.
And how it impacts the human brain. In short, the research shows that having sexual relationships with one or more people outside of marriage actually rewires the brain and makes it very difficult to engage in a permanent, lifelong commitment later in life. In other words, it interferes with bonding. This is a very important book, and I leaned heavily on this research in my own book, Bringing Up Girls. I devoted a significant portion of my book to this subject of casual sex because it is just that important. No parent should be without this information.
Again, we will be hearing from Dr. Joe McElhaney, the former president of the Medical Institute for Sexual Health, and also Dr. Frieda McKissick-Bush, the current president of the Medical Institute for Sexual Health, a mother and a grandmother, and a doctor in private practice in Mississippi. Here now is the conclusion of their interview on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Let me start our discussion referring again to the fact that I am very, very concerned about the hookup culture and how it affects young women particularly. Not that it doesn't affect boys, but I do believe that young girls are more easily wounded emotionally than guys are. It's our role as men to protect women, and yet many young men are causing their partners irreparable harm. And as you know, when a boy is 16, he often has one thing on his mind, and sometimes he goes after it and he gets it. And then he might lose interest and move on. But a young lady becomes bonded to that guy for reasons that we discussed yesterday. and she is stuck with those feelings of attachment. Dr. Bush, address that, particularly from the girl's point of view.
Well, a girl is vulnerable physically also because of the way her body is made and the fact that I say she's an innie, and so if there are diseases, they can actually get inside of her tubes and cause her to have significant scarring later on and not be able to have children. So she's vulnerable physically, but also emotionally.
As a matter of fact, some of the studies we looked at showed that when these young women, and probably young men too, there are certainly some stories about them, but when the young women have this happen in their lives where they've given themselves sexually or emotionally to somebody and then break up, they hurt, and you can see the hurt in the same centers that physical hurt show up in the brain. They literally are physically hurting emotionally.
Well, frankly, it irritates me no small amount that typical sex education classes for these vulnerable kids who really don't know much about life yet, is based on a lie, or at least a vast misunderstanding of what the sex act means and what it does to
exactly.
us.
Exactly. I mean, they're really basically saying to these young kids, it's normal for you to have sex when we expect you to do it. But all you have to do is use condoms and birth control pills to be safe, and that's just not true. And now I think with this information about the brain, we show it's even less true.
Recently, I had an opportunity to talk with a middle school class in Jackson, Mississippi, and later in asking what did you get from the class, one of the seventh grade boys said, I didn't know the brain had anything to do with sex.
No.
And so I think that's very instructive. There may be some older people.
That's a bright kid, right? He's really got it figured out. What we were just saying there is spelled out in the scripture so clearly. This is not new. I mean, it's new to us because we have new scientific information. But this is what Paul said, flee from sexual immorality. He said, don't do it. Mm-hmm. All right. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body, and we might say his own brain. Mm-hmm. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Yeah. Boy, I wish every teenager could memorize that.
Yeah. And remember the part in Proverbs where the writer of Proverbs watches a young man going down the street.
Seventh chapter.
Being lured into the room with adulterous, with a prostitute, to his destruction.
Yeah.
And though these young people often aren't dying, sometimes they're literally killing their chance of having a happy marriage in the future. Which actually brings out one of the reasons we wanted to do this book. We wanted people to be aware of the fact that if they did follow that road, that they would have brain changes that are physical that then unconsciously guide them into hurtful behaviors in the future. That can take years to overcome, literally years of counseling, years of spiritual work to overcome these things, if ever. It's much better if they can never, ever get involved in those things and let their brains be molded by their relationship and their marriage to their husband or to their wife.
Now, we have chosen in these two programs not to deal with sexually transmitted diseases because you and I have talked about that about 14 times here. But boy, there's a lot there as well. It's not just the brain, but it is the body. Mm-hmm. And you brought a DVD that was done by somebody, we want them to remain anonymous, about his own experience with his family and with his child. And is it all right if we let our listeners hear this?
Sure.
All right.
I think they should hear it.
And brace yourself, folks, because this is powerful.
What can compare to the joy of holding your newborn baby? For me, that joy is overwhelming. My name is Steve. I've been married 5 years and love my wife more than ever. We have an amazing son, and the news we were expecting a baby girl made our future even brighter. But choices I had made in my past would cloud our bright future and leave our newborn daughter fighting for her life. At first, our daughter seemed healthy, but after a few days, my wife said something about our daughter didn't seem right. Our baby girl was sluggish and not very responsive to us. Our pediatrician said not to worry. All babies are different, he said. She won't act the same way your son did. Then one night, while my wife was holding our newborn, our baby girl stopped breathing and turned blue. I thought my daughter was dying. Finally, we got a devastating diagnosis. Our daughter had been born with herpes. The casual sex I had in college left me infected with the incurable virus. Before we were married, I had told my wife I had herpes, so throughout our marriage, we were careful to have sex only when we thought it was safe. Yet, as careful as we were, my wife still contracted the virus sometime while she was pregnant with our daughter. My wife didn't know she had contracted herpes. She never had a single symptom. The anger and guilt I felt knowing I had passed the virus to my wife and she had passed it to our daughter was overwhelming. As we watched our daughter struggle to stay alive, I thought, we were so careful. How could this happen? It happens more easily than you think. You can catch herpes even with condom use. You can catch herpes from a partner even when they don't have an outbreak. You can pass it on to an infant even when you don't have an outbreak. Herpes attacks an infant's brain, eating through it. Babies who survive are usually left with severe disabilities. The virus was already eating through my daughter's liver. We prayed her brain would not be next. Our prayers were answered. Our daughter made a miraculous recovery. The virus did not attack her brain. Developmentally, she is a normal 15-month-old. But that can change at any minute. The virus can attack again. It's heartbreaking to watch the painful medical procedures our daughter must undergo every month. She will never outgrow herpes. It'll be a threat to my little girl's health for the rest of her life. And it all started with the lie of casual sex. The lie that casual sex feels great and hurts no one. It's the lie I was taught in high school sex ed class. It's the lie that kids are now taught in middle school sex ed class. Some politicians want it taught to kids in kindergarten. I'm reminded of that lie every day. Reminded by the recent news reports that one out of every four adults in New York City has herpes. Adults who think casual sex doesn't hurt anybody because that's what our culture tells them. But mostly, I'm reminded of the lie of casual sex by the blisters on my daughter's tiny fingers. Painful blisters that never seem to go away. And I'm reminded by her fight for life. Casual sex? See for yourself. Then ask, what can I do to help stop the lie?
Boy, that's as powerful a message as I've seen in a long time. And you feel for that youngster who will be, in a sense, disabled or potentially disabled the rest of her life because of a momentary exhilaration that so many others have experimented with. Dr. McElhaney, you used to have a very busy practice in OBGYN in Austin, Texas. And you enjoyed, I'm sure, all the professional and personal and financial rewards of such a practice. Mm-hmm. But you walked away from it at a fairly young age in terms of retirement and started the Medical Institute for Sexual Health, which is now called the Medical Institute. Was it related to what we just heard in any way? Not that individual or that family, but for thousands of others.
Because I saw this in my office. I've seen it since then with multiple people, hundreds, thousands of people around this country. And I know Dr. Bush, and she can speak for herself, but I know that she's now making sacrifices in much the same way because we've seen this happen to people. People don't know it's happening to them when it happens, when they get these diseases. They don't anticipate getting pregnant when they're not married and the trials of that. And now they don't really know that their brains are getting rearranged, getting programmed to be involved in destructive behavior and how it can undermine everything in the future for them. That's why we're here, and thank you for letting us talk about this.
Well, let me give the title again. It is Hooked, New Science on How Casual Sex is Affecting Our Children by Dr. McElhaney and Dr. Bush. And you have gone to considerable effort in this book to advise parents in how to deal with this and how to teach their children what they have to lose. Dr. Bush, what do you say to a mother who perhaps brought her 15-year-old daughter in, and then when she talks to you, she says, I can't discuss this with my daughter because I don't have clean hands and a pure heart either. I did things I'm embarrassed about, and I did them a lot when I was younger. And I feel like a hypocrite to try to keep my daughter from doing those things because I did them. What do you say?
Well, Dr. Dobson, I think you've been in my office. I'm not sure. But what you say to her is that gives you your integrity. That actually gives you the ability to say to her, look, I've got a T-shirt, and you should not have to buy it and go through the experiences that I have. I have the credibility to say to you, warning, this is why you should avoid it. And because I did not, these are the consequences, and I want you to avoid those consequences. For me, that means that she now is role modeling the very behavior that she wants her daughter to experience. You can make a decision that you will change your lifestyle for your benefit, but also for the benefit of your children.
Dr. McElhaney, as you know, I served on the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography in the 80s and became aware at that time of what an addiction to pornography does, especially to the male brain. Mm-hmm. But it's not unrelated to what we're talking about here.
No, it's not, Jim. The studies can show lust in the brain. And what we believe is that as guys particularly look at pornography over and over and over again and have their sexual stimulation by that, that part of the brain that responds to that thickens up and grows. And to them, then, sex is pornography. It's no longer normal sex relationships with a husband or a wife.
And there's no way she can compete with that.
There's no way she can compete, but also his brain won't respond to her even if she were trying to compete because he's responding to a different type of sexual stimulation. The encouragement for those people that have been involved in those behaviors in the past, they may even be remembering sexual acts that they were involved in before, may be seeing some problems in marriage. So, real encouragement is that the brain continues to mold until death. It molds a lot faster in the teenage brain, but it still molds until death. And so people that have those memories or have those issues that they're dealing with can overcome those if they work at it. It can take a lot of work. It can take counseling. It can take spiritual change. It can take commitment. It can take mentoring. But if they will commit to change, they can have that change happen in their brains over time.
You know, I don't want to be too personal here, and I also don't want to sound self-righteous. Shirley and I were virgins when we got married. And I know that for many people, they're beyond that, and it's too late to completely reverse that. You can before God, and He will forgive. But being able to bring ourselves to each other in that way, in an exclusive way that to this moment has never been with anybody else, is a precious gift.
It's Marin a and I gift. Have had the same experience, Jim. Neither one of us have ever been involved with anyone else either. And I tell you, the comfort of that, the bonding that we've experienced, and the pleasure we have physically is just beyond description after 49 years.
What a beautiful picture of God's design for sexual intimacy. And we've been hearing it here on this Family Talk broadcast today with our guest, Dr. McElhaney, just describing something we all want, not just for ourselves. It's what we want for our kids when they're grown, too. But how do you cast that vision? How do you convince kids to save sex for marriage when the culture's telling them, do it now because it feels good? Well, let's hear as our other guest, Dr. Freda McKissick-Bush, addresses that very topic.
I think my first would be to sit down and talk with your kids about it. Let them know what your values are and to make it very clear what it is that you expect. Even have them to repeat it. So that would be the first thing. The second would be if you have in your past had experiences, then you don't have to give them details, but you can let them know that there were negative consequences to those choices. And that's why it's so important to you to help them. Invite them to come to you. If they're tempted or they're having a problem, then invite them to come to you and bring their friends. Birds of a feather flock together. So you want to make sure that your home is a place where their friends can come and you get to know them and you can influence them as well.
Dr. Bush, a moment ago, Dr. McElhaney and I were talking about being virgins at the time that we were married, but you were not able to say that. And I appreciated your willingness to say that, because we're talking to people out there that say, what are those guys, a bunch of saints? You know, what about the term that we hear used of secondary virginity? Do you think that has validity, that even after you've lost your virginity, that there's something that you can do that approximates it, especially after you've been forgiven by God?
Absolutely. There is a place for secondary virginity. My grandmother would say, when you know better, you do better. And so that's what you do. When you make a decision that to claim or reclaim sexual abstinence until a committed relationship in marriage, then you have to practice that. But first comes a decision. Then it comes to the choices that you make to make good on that decision so that your behavior is changed.
You have been married 40 years. You must have managed to accommodate.
Oh, absolutely, to a wonderful man. But the two of us made a commitment in marriage at the altar that divorce was not an option. And so we have gone through life together and have bonded and enjoyed the sexual act and the dopamine reward in that commitment. And I would say that is the healthiest way, and I'm trying to help many young people make that decision. And if they have not, it's not too late to change.
There's some people listening to us right now who are thinking, I'm glad they said that. Right?
Well, Rebecca said, write the vision, make it plain, so that those who see it can run with it.
I really like that. And your being here today will help make a difference. And appreciate you both, Dr. McKissick-Bush and Dr. McElhaney. Dr. Bush, this is your first visit here, but it will not be the last if I have anything to say about it.
Thank you so much. And
thanks for getting on a plane and flying here when you've got a busy practice to return to. And Dr. McElhaney, I love you like a brother.
And I feel the same way toward you, Jim. And thank you so much for getting this information out. It comes from our hearts, and we hope it helps people.
Well, there is no doubt that the conversation we just heard and this book will be a very powerful tool in the hands of parents. And for those who've been hurt by this hookup culture, too, this will be a helpful resource for you as well. Dr. Dobson, I know that when you were writing your book, Bringing Up Girls, you relied rather heavily on this research.
Well, I really did, Roger. I quoted from it liberally because I felt so strongly that parents should have this information, especially if they're raising young girls who, as we heard last time, are particularly vulnerable when it comes to sexuality. We all know God has a plan for sex. It's His creation, His gift, and it's designed to be expressed exclusively between one man and one woman within the bonds of marriage. That may sound corny. It may sound horribly old-fashioned. in this culture in which we live. But that's what the Word says, and frankly, that's enough for me. But how satisfying it is when science and the hard facts back up the wisdom found in Scripture.
It is gratifying and satisfying indeed. And we have links to Dr. McElhaney's organization, the Medical Institute for Sexual Health, when you go to drjamesdobson.org. And we encourage you to check out that for even more information and resources, as well as the link to their book called Hooked, New Science on How Casual Sex is Affecting Our Children. Also, if you know a parent that really needs a copy of this broadcast in their hands, because this conversation is so important, not only for what we teach our kids, but also for how we realize the way our brains have been rewired, maybe impacted on the ways you lived when you were younger before becoming a Christ follower, love to get a CD copy of today's program in your hands. You can call us at 877-732-6825 or download it at drjamesdobson.org. We'll see you again next time right here for another edition of Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.